40 million people in Mexico do not have access to the internet. Our company, Altan Redes, is building a network that will connect them to the world. Chubb wrote insurance policies that gave the Mexican government, our investors, and partners the confidence they needed to make this happen. They also cover our construction risk, damage to the network, and environmental exposure. For a project this complex, Chubb was the one.
Learn more at chubb.com/WSJ.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, tech headlines you need to know about, but first, more on the iPhone X. It is so close, you can smell it. And if you're wondering how reviewers are liking the iPhone X, Apple has crafted something a little different this rollout. Departing from its traditional preview strategy, it's giving early access to the new iPhone to YouTube personalities and celebrities over most technology columnists. But why? Is there a method to the madness? And more importantly, how are reviews looking? Let's get the latest. Joining us now with more, patching in from San Francisco, is Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle.
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
So could you first explain how Apple is changing up its strategy? How is it prioritizing how its product is getting reviewed for the iPhone X?
The difference this time is that it is prioritizing the review process. There's a real strategy here, and this is a differentiation from years past, because really over the last several years, what we've seen Apple do is release the latest iPhone to, upwards of a couple dozen reviewers, tech reviewers. Those are typically reviewers across a number of publications and websites, ranging from the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and USA Today to The Verge and TechCrunch and more just tech-specific websites. And this process has been different. They also made sure this phone was reviewed at least, gave a limited review time for this phone to some YouTube celebrities and personalities.
Right.
And also made sure that a 12-year-old app developer went on Ellen with it, that Mindy Kaling offered a review for Glamour. So Apple really seemed to go, okay, we're going to hit the tech audience with these three reviewers. We're going to hit a broader audience with these YouTube reviewers. And we're going to hit a different audience with Ellen and Glamour. So they seemed to really segment who they were reaching in a way that was more strategic than they had in years past.
One has to assume, like you said, there's some precision involved with this, some specific strategic thinking. This is a very important iPhone rollout, the biggest in a decade. So what do we make of this strategy? What are some hypotheses being tossed around?
It's unclear what Apple's thinking on this, candidly. It's definitely a different process. There were only three traditional, quote-unquote traditional, tech reviewers who got an edition of the phone for a week and were able to really put the phone through its full paces. Everyone else got the phone for less than 24 hours, and that meant they couldn't do some of the things they would typically do. For example, run the phone through a full battery test to see how the battery life compares to the stated battery life that Apple says the iPhone X will have. So there's a little bit of a differentiation in terms of that and the testing process. But in terms of Apple's philosophy and strategy, clearly they went with a less is more. And one of the themes that you saw in those three reviewers' reviews was that they were really trying to make the case that they were using the phones the way an everyday customer would use the phone. In other words, they weren't doing any kind of like outlandish, hardcore tech tricks on the phone, but really just using it, shoot video, take photos. One guy went to Disneyland and spent the day on the phone at Disneyland, just seeing how it functioned as a facet of his everyday life.
Is there a difference of opinion between crash reviewers and those that got to spend longer time with it? Can we make anything of it if we're just digging a little deeper here?
At this juncture, there's really not. I mean, what came out in terms of the overarching read from reviewers was the phone works well. Whether they were crash reviewers or those three reviewers who had the phone for a week, what you really heard overall was that Face ID, the facial recognition system on this phone, the big question mark on this phone, function as advertised and couldn't be fooled. Our own reviewer, Jonas Stern, did a very clever video that I'd recommend watch. Just even with triplets, like that was the only way she could hack this phone. Other than that, it was, really foolproof. That being said, those people who got the phone for less than 24 hours also added the asterisk that, hey, we only had this phone for 24 hours. We may find some other things that that trouble us later after we've had more time with this phone. But at this juncture, you know, it seems to work as advertised.
Ultimately, can we maybe chalk this unusual approach to an unusual year for Apple and call it a day? It's $1,000 for the phone, the highest priced smartphone ever. Times are changing. I guess it's all relative.
Right. I mean, this is a year full of anomalies, and this is just the latest, right? For the first time, Apple launched in the fall a trio of phones. It raised the prices on all of them. It staggered the release time. So the iPhone 8 went out September 22nd. The iPhone 10 is going out Friday, November 3rd. And it's just a different year all around. And this is just the latest addition to that.
It has been quite a year. Wall Street Journal reporter Trip Mickle, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sonia.
The latest tech headlines you need to know about are new details from the scandal involving Russia and social media. Russian operatives targeted users on Facebook by race, political preference, and religion. This is according to advertising data released as part of this week's congressional investigations into manipulation of the 2016 U.S. election. Facebook, Twitter, along with Alphabet's Google, testified on Capitol Hill Wednesday, answering questions from lawmakers about how Russia used their platforms to sow political and social divisions from 2015 to the present. It continues to be a big week for tech earnings. Facebook and Tesla clocked in notable reports this week. Facebook said third quarter profit jumped 79% on its continued dominance in online advertising. Tesla also clocked in, reporting a third quarter loss greater than analysts expected, compounding the pressure on CEO Elon Musk to speed up production of the long-awaited Model 3 sedan. A 36% gain in sales of Tesla's Model X SUV during the quarter helped boost revenue 30%, exceeding analysts' expectations. One of the more highly anticipated reports of the week is from Apple. Investors will anxiously await its quarterly results to be released after Thursday's market close. For more on these and other stories, head to WSJ.com/tech. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.